This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. And as Google tackles the growing pile of ethical matters on its plate, it makes a big move regarding sexual harassment policy just 1 week after thousands of workers walked out of offices around the world to protest its handling of workplace issues. We'll talk about the latest, but first, these tech headlines. Speaking of Google, it's planning a large New York City expansion. It is gearing up for a move that could add space for more than 12,000 new workers, an amount nearly double its current staffing in the city. This rivals the approximately 25,000 jobs Amazon is projected to add. Says the Journal, New York could become the next battleground in a budding rivalry between Amazon and Google, which are increasingly vying to be the first place consumers turn for searches relating to product purchases. Amazon HQ2 plans could make defense hiring even more competitive. Two of the possible locations, Crystal City and Dallas, are also home to large populations of defense workers, and Queens even more crowded. Long Island City, a leading contender for one of Amazon's headquarters, has become the fastest-growing neighborhood in all of New York City. And with growth comes challenges, from crowded schools to overworked sewer systems. Read more about the myriad of challenges that lie ahead for wherever HQ2 lands at WSJ.com or the WSJ app. A Telstra executive will replace Elon Musk as chairman of Tesla. Robin Denholm, the chief financial officer of the Australian telecommunications company, has served on Tesla's board since 2014, but has fewer ties to Tesla CEO Elon Musk than more of the company's directors. The announcement comes ahead of a November 13 deadline that was part of Mr. Musk's settlement with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission to end claims he misled investors. As a Tesla board member, Ms. Denholm has provided some rare automotive experience to a company that prides itself on being an industry outsider. Coming up, Google makes a big move to address the growing tide of activist employees demanding changes in the way Google does business. In an official memo Thursday, Google said it will end its requirement for employee sexual harassment claims to be handled in private arbitration, a move that comes 1 week after thousands of workers walked out of Google's offices in a global protest. Here to talk more about what is just the latest in a series of ethical dilemmas on Google's plate as of late is The Wall Street Journal's Douglas McMillan joining us from San Francisco. Hey, Douglas.
Hey, Tanya.
So, it's been a series of ethical issues Google has had to sort through lately, to say the least. It came to a crescendo last week, what with the global walkout. So can we take this official policy change as a victory for the organizers? Is that a direct result of what happened?
It certainly appears so. This walkout happened 1 week ago. On Thursday of last week, thousands of employees took to the streets, took to the sidewalks outside of their buildings in dozens of offices around the globe. And really, they put together a good plan. They took their message on social media, and they most importantly had five very clear, important demands for Google management. Now, all five of the demands were not addressed in Google's policy changes, but I think you can definitely argue that key ones were met. And, you know, as you're saying, the rapid decisions that Google had to go through to change some pretty significant things about the way that they run their company is a sign of how seriously they took the message that, you know, these employees are putting forward, and maybe a sign that Google employees are setting kind of a model for the workforce of the future. If you are going to work for a company that sells working there as kind of, you know, this utopian, you are going to help us change the world, then maybe it's incumbent upon you to listen to those employees and to give them a say in how you conduct your business. You know, the big change they made was an end to Google's forced arbitration requirement. Google had been requiring any victims of sexual harassment to settle those disputes out of court, particularly where Google and other large corporations who have these agreements enforce these agreements are who have more of an advantage, and there's less transparency into that process. Google is doing away with that process. You know, the span of a week, these protesters got Google to change a very significant policy. And I think that, you know, you're going to see other companies start to look at what happened in this kind of quick turnaround time and wonder if they should also get on board with changing their policies and wonder how they should listen up to their employees, lest they be victim to a similar situation.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, like we said last week, certainly pushed the issue of sexual harassment to the forefront. And, you know, this is a big start and a big decision on Google's part, but, you know, Google has many ethical problems on its plate. There's a big China problem and all the flack it's getting from doing business there. Any indication from, I know there's there was more addressed in this specific policy letter. Anything we can glean from what might come of that?
Yeah, as you say, there are a lot of issues management is facing right now. China's a big question mark. We've been reporting a lot about data privacy concerns and how those are getting more scrutiny in Washington. The policy change Google management made are a significant step in the right direction. However, I don't think anyone is under the illusion that they're going to change Google's culture. To change an entire company with 90,000 people's culture is going to take a lot more time and a lot more careful planning and execution and thoughtful input from management and thoughtful listening by management and what they've done wrong. There are a lot of reports, you know, there have been stories in the past few weeks, there have been stories in the past few years, frankly, about how top Google executives have set a very bad example for how they conduct their own romantic interests and pursue their own romantic interests, you know, during work hours and within close proximity to their offices. That, you know, leadership set from the top, it sounds like from my reporting, trickled down to, you know, the rest of the organization where there are serious questions about, you know, whether or not there's a healthy workplace kind of culture right now at Google. This is not something that Google can change overnight with a policy change, but it's something that they're going to have to, like, think about how do we put together the right steps to make that bigger culture change, in the years ahead.
Right. That's a good note to end on. Again, there's a lot more to the story. Douglas McMillan covers it all at WSJ.com. For the latest head there, Douglas, thank you so much.
Thanks very much for having me.
That does it for the Tech News Briefing for now. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.